So Jeremy and Angela Perigo, they referenced their multiple experiences. I've known them for about 17 years, 16 years, something like that. And they're two of the finest leaders and pastors, worship leaders in multiple ways that I know, and where we just have a real privilege. They have a wealth of knowledge. And I know many of you represent different kinds of churches and different roles in your churches. And they really have a great, not just information and structure, but a heart to impart to us. And so thank you guys for coming to hang out with us. Blessings. And so have fun, guys.
Thanks, Pastor Joel. Hey, it's super cool to hang out with you guys and do this. Just to give a little context, Joel kind of did, but we have seen internships in multiple cultures and also from multiple vantage points. So Angela was a pastoral intern at Christ for the Nations as a student. I was an intern at Glad Tidings, Omaha, Nebraska, a kind of multi-ethnic church there. We've helped lead birth internships with Pastor Joel and Eunice with New Strength in Virginia Beach. We've had two of the Big House guys, well, Josh Morgan and Ian Hussein, come and intern with us in Turkey. In the last 6 years, I've been the overall the placements for students that were doing 3 years. So we've seen like 2 month internships, we've seen 3 year internships. So we recognize that every context is different. And I think that's going to be really key. If you're reassessing what you've been doing, like wanting to reshape or reassess what you have been doing, or wanting to birth something new. What will work in London might not work in Nebraska, or what works in Roanoke might not work in Virginia Beach. Does that make sense? So a lot of what, when Angela gets to talking, it's going to be more about values. And then we're going to give some practical stories about how it's looked in some of these contexts. After seeing it from kind of 3 or 4 different vantage points, both overseeing supervisors who are running internships and then hearing students get feedback and also being an intern, I love the term apprenticeship rather than interns. Got the interns. The biggest reason I like it, and this is you actually get paid. I know not every church could do that, but if you are having someone work 40 to 60 hours a week, there's got to be something given to them. And Angela will give some other ideas about teaching and ministering and pouring into them. But I think there's something very significant that we need to recognize, that if we're having people give all of their life, maybe even coming from a different city to work with us, they have bills, they have things that need to go. And it also, some internships with friends of mine at big churches cost $2,000 and $3,000. There's a certain segment of the population that couldn't pay $3,000 to go. And so to equalize that, there may be ways, again, to think more, less of an intern that I'm going to get lots of free work for 40 hours, 50, 60 hours a week, but actually someone we're going to invest in and really raise up, and that's part of our thing. And maybe that is giving free housing, or maybe that's doing other things. A couple other really, really practical things is have some sort of application, some sort of written expectations. This is true for volunteer ministry roles in your church, for pastoral roles if you're hiring a new pastor. I know the church, we don't often do that, particularly charismatic and Pentecostals. Oh, you're a great singer. Let's hire you to be our worship leader. Well, what do you actually expect out of a worship leader? And same thing with interns. What do you expect? And to sit down and talk about that. I know, I remember talking with Ian on the phone. I had never met him. I knew his friend Josh, who came with us, and we just talked for about 30 minutes and talked about some of the practical things about life in Turkey and what you have to do as a Christian, and it's slightly different men and women relationships in a Turkish context, a Muslim context, than it would be in Virginia Beach, and talking about, you know, you can't drink, you can't smoke in these contexts, there's certain things that you can't do. And again, you may feel you're from a certain tradition, you know it, and you think that an 18-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 25-year-old or a 55-year-old is on the same page with you because they want to join and learn from you, they may be on a very different page. And on the other side, as an intern, to know, what do I actually have to do? I didn't really have this when I was in Nebraska, and I ended up working about 80 hours a week. I mean, it was awesome. I was a phase of life. I was there for just a month and a half, and so I got to be a part of a sound install that was, you know, almost $250,000. Like, as a 20-year-old, to be able to understand that and see that and be in those meetings. We did a choir tour, like, and I helped lead that and book the logistics. So I learned a ton. But it would have been great to know ahead of time that this isn't 30 hours a week. This isn't 40 hours a week. This is going to be really your whole life for 2 months. And so whether to really have those expectations there. I think, too, and after Angela shares, we'll look more about this, but to also think practically about the timing. How long is this going to be? If it's a young person in your church that's in, you know, high school, I mean, in one sense, you could think they're going to be your intern forever. Well, actually, they're going to grow up. They have dreams. They have passions. They may go to college somewhere else. They may go to another internship at another church and then come back to your church in 10 years and be the senior pastor. Like, so you've got to have a really specific expectations around time. And so today, as we keep going into this and keep pressing in, if you're already leading an internship or some sort of apprentice or raising up, I'd love you to start to think about what are the things that we need to tweak. What's going to make it a little bit better? Even the big thing, why are we doing this? We'll talk about, again, we'll have some dialogue on this. If you've never done it before, those same questions apply. Why are you here today? Why do you want an internship? But I'd love Angela to share a little bit on.
It's really good, Jeremy. So I wanted to back up just a minute and talk about worship, and we can move to the next. Is this me? There we go. So I just want to read this, and this is how I'm kind of basing worship and why worship internships on kind of this quote by Lester Ruth. Let's read it. It says, "Worship is doing cosmic child's play for real. It is the activity of the children of God because it requires simple trust, excitement, and wonder. It is cosmic because in Christian worship we are dealing with ultimate realities. It is play because it involves a childlike acting out of roles with basic objects. It is for real because through faith in Christ we believe the true gospel to be made present in worship. It may be playful, but it is no mere game. Thus, to usher people into the deep mysteries of Christian worship is to bring a truly enriching gift to the church's life. It involves not only a certain kind of worship during specific times, but also a whole way of approaching worship realities." I really appreciate that. Worship is doing cosmic child's play for real. I think sometimes in worship, we can get really serious or really into ourselves, take ourselves too seriously. What I just want to do is just loosen up and say, it's about play. Doing, playing with God, play, having that sense of childlikeness in our worship, in our atmosphere, in our relationships, in our communication. I'm in a doctoral program right now, and I was doing some research on children and what does the Bible say about children. And I came across a really interesting passage in Proverbs 8, and I'm going to just read this to you here. And it says this. It's Proverbs 8:22. If you want to turn to that in your phones or Bibles. And it says, "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago." So wisdom, Lord created wisdom. "At ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had yet not made earth and fields, or the world's first bit of soil. So this is a story of creation and wisdom being a part of creation. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountain of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the water might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, here we go, then I, wisdom, was beside him like a little child. Some translations say master worker, but in this translation, then, in NRSV, it says, like a little child, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. There's something about that safety and stability that God creates in his world, that he allows wisdom to be like a child at play. And we think about children. Children can play when they're in a safe environment, right? And that's something just about the nature of children, is to be secure enough to totally express themselves, to totally let themselves go. And that's the kind of environment that we want to create in our worship internship, is a sense of security that they can express themselves, express their creativity, to play before God in a safe environment. In Zechariah, let's see here. I want to get this wrong. In Zechariah 8:5, it says this, in the restoration of the streets, when everything is restored, when everything is made new. What does that look like? We think like all things are made new. The streets are, you know, full of the worship, the glory of God. But also, here it says this. It says, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, and the streets shall also be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. That's a sign. That's what we look forward to, is boys and girls playing in the streets when all things are made new. There's a sense of we can just let ourselves go and be free to create, free to play, free to express ourselves. And so when we're thinking in terms of building a worship internship, I want us to think in terms of play. How can we play? How can we do this cosmic child's play for real within a church setting, local church, wherever you're at, whatever you're thinking of? But how do we do this in community? And I have this acronym, it's kind of cheesy, but it's PLAY. Now we think we should pray, but I'm gonna get there. Pray, play, play. There we go. So I can turn that. Look, I have control. Oh, it didn't do, okay. Pray, I guess that's my, oh, and I have these. Do you wanna pass those out?
They're already passed out.
Oh, awesome, thank you, you did that. Thank you. So the first one, and as you have these sheets, as you're thinking through this stuff, I want you to think in terms of what God might be saying to you in taking this to your local context. And as we talk later about what that looked like, jot some things down and really be dialoguing with God about what this will look like in your particular context. Yeah. So pray. There's and in these, let's see here, play. So I've divided it out into four. Play is pray, and then we have the L will stand for something, the A, and the Y. And there's three aspects to each of these words that I'd like to get into. The first is vertical. So we're praying. I think internships are important to invest in individual relationship with God. How are your interns praying in their own devotionals, in their own quiet time? We know this, but don't neglect that. I mean, that's something where if you're working 80 hours a week, it can be so easy all of a sudden that month and a half goes by, and have they really taken time to be with God themselves? make sure that that's a part of being in your internship. Have you, you know, and ask those questions. Hey, what is God talking to you about lately? What's God been sharing to you? Where in the Bible are you reading right now? And that goes into the next one, horizontal. Be praying together. I mean, that's so powerful. I remember when I was a pastoral intern at Christ for the Nations, that was something that I still remember hearing the pastor, Chris Frith, pray. It radically changed the way that I prayed, hearing him pray. Don't underestimate the power of modeling praying with your interns. It's so powerful. It radically shaped the way that I pray, is to hear you pray. Do you have anything to add in terms of that? No. All right. And ask the question, how can I pray for you this week? What is going on in your life that I can pray for you, that I can be intentional about lifting up before God? And that can become a journey that you look and you say, hey, we started off here and you asked for these prayers. Look, a month or a year later, look how God has answered these prayers that we've been faithfully praying through over our time together. And the last one is missional. So we're looking outwards. We looked upwards, praying with God, individual, praying together. But then the other thing is being praying for our community, taking prayer into the neighborhoods and into the nations. I remember, how can we bring prayer and worship into our local community? When Josh and Ian were with us in Turkey, one of the things that we had them do, and which was funny, is we had them book themselves in cafes every week. So you guys need to go out in the community, find yourself somewhere to play, even open mic. And this was in Turkey, so they literally had to walk the streets. Do you remember this? Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe you helped them set some things up. No, they had to do it themselves. So they had to go and walk in. Hey, you know, we're some musicians from America. Can we play in your cafe? But that was a great way for them to be able to get their songs out in the community, build relationships, be intentional that prayer doesn't just stay in these four walls, which it's so easy to do. But how can we get our interns out into the community praying? So that is pray. Learn. Ooh, next one. Learn. L for learn. The first one is vertical with God. I think if you're in a worship internship, it's so critically important to instill in them a biblical theology of what worship is. Who is God? What is worship? Teach them. Don't underestimate that time that they can learn about who God is biblically, theologically. Dig deep, use commentaries, expand their, give them books to read broadly beyond what they're used to. Jeremy can maybe share some resources later about some really excellent worship resources to get these interns thinking biblically, chewing on what it looks like to know God, to know what worship is. And to expand spiritual disciplines. Yeah, when the last internship that I led at London School of Theology, some of the girls had never taken a commentary and used that in their devotions. And so when we were reading together, I'm like, hey, and they were reading in John, and I was like, hey, let's pull out a commentary and see what this has to say about what we're praying about. And so we began, you know, I gave them each a separate commentary, and we took about, it wasn't a long time, took about 10, 15 minutes to each read what this verse said in our different commentaries. And then we shared that with each other. They're like, oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit is here revealing the Word of God through these commentaries. It was about a half an hour. We all took some time, and that was really powerful. And they're like, how do we live without this? How do we learn about God without commentaries anymore? And it changed the way that they approached learning about God, reading their Bible, and taking that. It was something that they could take and share with others too along the way. Let's see here. horizontal, learn from each other, learn with each other and from each other. Now you have interns so that hopefully they're coming because they want to learn in your church, but you also have a lot to learn from them. Make it your goal every week to learn, hey, I'm going to learn something new from you this week. You know, what can you teach me that I don't know yet? And make yourself curious about, these millennials are so creative. They know so much. Learn. Hey, I want to learn from you. I know you're here to learn from me, but what can you teach me?
I think that's really, really key. Like, to create, as you were saying earlier, a safe environment. Really, to come to as a learner, if you're the director of the internship or you're initiating in your church, like, there is a lot you can learn from other people. Really, people younger than you. Again, not just how to use your iPhone, that does help, or how to use the new software if you're starting to get older like me and I can't switch all the time, but particularly around creative elements or around experience or around culture even, to come as a learner, if it is a cross-cultural thing or an age difference, to come in a posture of, okay, yes, there's things I can teach you about ministry, about creative arts, about arranging music, about tech, but also I can learn about you, what you have to bring. And I think that creates just a really open place. And I know, in some cultures and some church cultures, it's whoever has the mic and is on stage, they're the one with all the knowledge and all the experience. Actually, there's a lot of experience, even in a room like this, that sharing can be. So really a posture of learning.
And that's so good too. Like, I think I can look back and go, the best internships were the ones in which I took time or the leaders took time to get to know my story. And a lot of times we can go through a learning experience and never actually know each other. Hopefully that's not us in this room, but it can be a lot of times where you don't actually know the backstory of people, where they're from, their testimony, and that's something to learn. And they want to know you too. So when you're learning about them, also share about, include them in your life. Let them learn not only these big church things, but also who you are, what you're like, how you pray, how you live, how you raise your kids. We're going to talk about cooking later, but what you like to cook, share, let them learn some of your favorite recipes. Truly. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. And then missional, into the communities, into the neighborhoods and nations. How can we learn about the neighborhood that we live in here in this community? I think contextual worship has a missional heartbeat. Contextual worship has a missional heartbeat. How can we invest into the welfare of our church and our community? I mean, even getting your interns to know more about the history of the city and how the history of what's going on in our city impacts how we worship together. It's different in every community, but that opens your interns' eyes to see that it's more just about this local church expression, but how did we get to where we are? Who's in our community? I think that... And fresh songs and prayers birthed from the place of knowing your church and community really well. There's something about the fresh sound of the Lord coming through knowing your community well, knowing the needs, knowing the wants, knowing the people, getting into the community. Have anything to add about that? A, activate an adventure. With God, keep your relationship fresh. Help them, teach them, what does it look like to keep my relationship with the Lord fresh? Adventure with God. Not just reading or learning about spiritual disciplines, but actually doing them. They're reading a book about fasting, not just reading this book, but actually doing a fast. Not actually just learning about silence and solitude, but actually taking a day or a few hours to be silent or to be by yourself. And do that together when possible. Fast together. Retreat together. Adventure together. Ministry together is the best model. The best practice is actually doing stuff together. And by ministry, I don't just mean stage stuff, but life stuff. It's so good to be able to do together, adventure together. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think just I mean, through all this, you're hearing our relational side of internship. Like, an internship isn't just to build your church or a ministry. I'll cry. An internship is to build people. Mm. It's to build the people of God. And of course, by building your ministry, it helps build more people of God. But so many, I mean, again, this is the side of me meeting with our students in London who were in, you know, 20, 30 different churches. And really, it was just, we need a bass player bad. And so one of those guys played bass for a year and literally talked to no one in the church except the worship leader who was a supervisor. He got to learn to play bass better. He got to see another church. I mean, he learned a lot. He had to do it or he wouldn't, you know, pass. So he got something out of it, but it wasn't relational. And whatever you get from us today, I think for me, that's what my heart is, that you understand that you're building people, that you're not building ministry or you're not building, you know, skills, but you're actually making disciples. I mean, this also could be called Jesus' model. This is basic discipleship. It is the relational side. Yes, there's five services on Sunday that you need people there. I mean, there's stuff in the city you're doing or evening outreaches. There is stuff to do, but when you take the time to set some of that to the side and actually get face to face with someone. You all have had those encounters, I know. Someone who's been fully present with you, asking a question or praying for you. It won't just make your church better, but it will make their life different forever. That's why I'm a part of One Focus. There's conversations with Pastor Kevin or Pastor Joel or Pastor Tina 20 years ago that they were present with me as I was serving at their church. That transformed my life, and that's what we're really aiming for. And so this activate and adventure isn't just a tick box to do, but it's really a chance to pour in to the next generation, to leave a legacy that, again, if they leave your church right after the internship, that legacy is going to continue and have ripple effects. And I know it's hard because we're local churches, we've got stuff that needs to be done and we're all overworked, and to have four more things to do to add to our tick box can be super overwhelming. But these are the kind of things. I mean, you can take 12 disciples and 11 of them transform the world. And Jesus hung out with them. He ate with them. He sent them. He taught them. He loved them. He picked them up when they were broken and he held them.
I think that's so good. And I think, too, beyond what we do, it's how we do it. So no matter what you do to embody this relational side of an internship, relational side of ministering like Jesus, no matter what you do, of course, things need to get done. But the approach to it is always, how can we become more like Jesus and get to know each other better? And if that's your posture, how can we learn to serve each other better? That's our posture. No matter what we do, that's going to leave something that's going to leave a legacy and bring ripple effects. That's awesome. And then the last aspect of activate and adventure is missional. So how do we adventure into our local communities? Get your interns into the local area to explore. Make it a goal. Make it a goal of theirs to know the area, like the back of their hand. Remember, we had a girl in Turkey while we were there, and one of the first, she had never been out of the States before, never left her local neighborhood, lived with her parents. And I was like, hey, you know what? You're going to have to get on a bus and take the bus as far as it goes. Tell me what you see, and then get on the bus and come back. And do it, you know, do that for I think I said like half the day, the morning, you know? She's like, do I really have to? Can't you come with me? I'm like, I would love to, but this is like you needed to, you know, you need to do it yourself.
She did have a cell phone in case there was an emergency. So, I mean, there was
safeguarding. She's texting me a lot during the whole process. But just, she had to get on this bus by herself and see.
Not knowing the language. Not knowing, literally day two of arriving in Turkey.
I don't think it was a day two.
I think so.
Okay. But what I remember her saying is that I never knew all of this existed, and I would have missed it all had I not been forced out of my comfort zone to see from a different perspective. So we were doing a lot of driving in the car, a lot of walking to and from the same place, but to get her outside of the normal routine and to see life from a different perspective, she immediately, her perspective was broadened enough to help her through the rest of that time with us.
So, I mean, I think in just knowing some of the communities, send them not to the Tex-Mex restaurant, but send them to the taqueria for, like, literally, seriously, like the crossing culture to, you know, send them to, you know, a different restaurant or a different part of the city that they've never been in, and their cultural group doesn't go to that part of the city. But to really get God's heart for your community, I mean, this isn't good just for interns, this is good for pastors and leaders too, but to really have a sense of what's in our city and how can we together kind of take that adventure we've seen it transforming people's lives and giving them a heart for, again, not just the local church, but how they can bring God's glory to the city.
That's also one way. If you don't have time to go check out your local taqueria or what you want to know, send them to do it for you and to, again, learn from them. So they can learn and then also teach you some stuff that you haven't had a chance to be able to experience in your local community too.
I mean, one other on this kind of activate an adventure, and it was really, it won't sound like an adventure first, but just with Ian sitting here, it reminded me, like, as they took an interesting adventure for 19 and 20 year old, no, I'm not going to tell the one about the scooter and the crash, that's another adventure, they felt God leading them to an adventure to shut off their cell phones, to get off Facebook, and it might have even been a little bit of MySpace 10 years ago. It's Skype, and so, like, for them to just pretty much focus for a season. And again, it was kind of an adventure of fasting technology, and that will freak out some, well, not even just young people, but freak all of us out. Our dopamine that we get from touching the like button or things like that. But I think these guys, literally, they read the Bible through a couple times and like wrote a number of songs and really were invested in the community. I'm not saying like making people get off for a year if it's a year-long internship, but there might be an adventure or an activation that's together. You know, when we're sitting and having coffee, let's set our phones upside down. And so we're not on that. And not just make them do it, but you also do that, to be fully present in those moments. And that's you know, not an adventure to a new restaurant or a part of the city, but it's really an adventure of kind of breaking free from some of the patterns and rituals we have.
Really good. Anything else on that? Why? This is my favorite. Yummy food. Come on, what's an internship without food? Now, food is essential. Yummy food is like, You got to have good food. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen.
It's good almost food. Lunchtime. Can we get a
vertical? I mean, we've talked about the Lord's table a lot in the last couple days, but really make it a regular practice to receive communion together. To impart that sense of we're going to come and receive from the Lord at his table together. Horizontal with each other. I mean, food is so important, and there's something that happens when you get out of this space and you hang out over a table, over coffee, over tacos, over a burger that doesn't happen anywhere else. Make that a priority? I mean, you probably have loads of stories about you and internships.
In my internship, although I worked 80 hours a week, I ate so good. And I gained 20 pounds, I think. So there might be some feasting and fasting, and I think you hear that.
Can work out together.
But literally, okay. Like being invited in, you know, to some family meals, and I know that in some parts of the country, that's not a thing anymore. You don't have company. We used to, when I was a kid, like, oh, we have company over. That doesn't happen. We eat in our cars, rushing from meeting to meeting, or... not trying to preach repentance, but to really sit down, and I think Big House has been great at that, like to sit down and have a meal together. When I think of other internships globally, the Helsers do this. Jonathan Helser, if you know that, like to sit and eat and have a big feast, one big table where you're there. Other cultures do this so well, or used to do that so well, but for some of us, we haven't. And in those places, you get to see how people eat that are different than you. Seriously. I mean, I went for my first African-American baptism. I played sax at it. I was the only white guy there. And this is when I was 16 or 17. Like, I had food that I'd never eaten before. I didn't know the rituals. I didn't know the flow. I mean, they were super kind and loving and loved my funky bluesy sax solo as the baptism was happening for this family. And it was out back, and I got to eat food that I never have. It was a little bit awkward, but I got to be drawn into that family. And I've sat with Kurds and Iranians on the ground that are ministry partners. And it's a place of humility, actually, when you come and eat with people who are a little different than you. And so not only just yummy food, but I think Angela does this so well. Yummy food in a house. Around a table. It's really a powerful imagery. Like with these interns, with these people you're serving with, that will transform. They'll see how you interact with your husband or wife, or you interact with, if you've got kids, interact with your kids. And that can be a really good thing. It really can. It can be, I mean, you've talked about this in your own experience, like seeing a pastor and his wife interact with their children forms how we interact with our children, and things that we don't want to do that we saw, and also things that we do. And so don't be afraid to invite that, not just going to whatever restaurant is your favorite, but also drawing into the home, into the space, into that house.
One of my favorite things was when I was leading an internship at LST, and we would have breakfast. I said, "Hey, girls, why don't you come over and let's have breakfast together?" And so the first time I did, and I made everything, and it looked really pretty, and that was a lot of work. And I'm like, I don't think I can, make all this frittata and like fresh squeezed orange. I just can't do it. So it was like, hey, they loved it. They're like, oh my gosh, we're in your house and you made all this food. I'm like, but I can't do it. Next time you guys need to come and help me. And they're like, really? You want us to come and cook in your house with you? And so it became this thing. Where they're like, yeah, we'll come over. So they came over, a couple hours early and set the table and rummaged through where my pans are and were washing the dishes and created more beautiful food, taught me more things that I didn't know. But also, some of these girls and guys had never been in the kitchen before. They didn't know how to flip the eggs. And so I'm like, hey, can you flip this egg for me? He's like, I've never done that before. And so here we are, like, not, flipping eggs together. but just this experience of being able to share life together in a fun, beautiful way over a meal that we can share. And also from that, like just hanging out, like over a meal, you can just sit and talk and eat and have conversations that come up that don't necessarily come up when you're on stage getting ready for Sunday morning or on the way out or after service when everybody's exhausted and just want to go eat ice cream and go crash up in bed. But there's something about being intentional about creating a meal together and then having time afterwards to chill. And then, what Jeremy said too is like don't skimp. Millennials are like kind of, we are, maybe it's just us, but kind of picky about good food. So like, get the good stuff, get the good coffee when you can, and don't rush. Real conversations take time and safety to get into.
I think that's, no, it's really helpful just to think like, it's not always this big production. And in that,
yeah,
those small things, I mean, again, I just look to the ministry of Jesus, him walking around and, oh, see the birds and talking about the birds and, oh, bread. I mean, we think there has to be a production, and that's how most of our church Sunday services are arranged, as a production. There's good reasons, and that's fine, and that's great. But life and relationship is not a production. There's not a recipe.
Come on.
There's not a recipe for relationship. It's presence. It's being physically together. And so I think too, and just thinking of students and interns and millennials that we've worked with, like, that can be the most powerful thing, teaching someone to flip an egg and allowing them to come into, seriously, if you're hungry, you need, and what can happen in that experience of being in relationship in a kitchen. And you're going to be doing it anyways, why not have an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old in that space?
And the missional aspect of that is get in, and we talked about that before, but get into your neighborhoods, building, growing, reviving your worship team by serving the local community together. And I think, I can't remember who was talking about that, but just in terms of finding those gaps within your community, and being the solution, being the answer to the prayers within your community, and modeling how that's done with your interns. And a lot of times that takes just getting out amidst the community and eating together. I mean, so many conversations happen with local restaurants just for the fact of frequenting them, getting to know those people, that the restaurant owners and the local cafes and the servers within those spaces create opportunities to get beyond the four walls, to have conversations with people who may not know Jesus, and get the interns comfortable with being present out and about in the community. Anything else?
So yeah, I think these are our values that are core to not only our internships that we've been doing, but also our life, to pray, to learn, to activate, to do something, and also to eat.
Good food.
Good food.
Yummy.
Yummy food. But I'd love you to flip the page over if you haven't. I want you to write three questions down, and then we'll probably get into a fourth one. First, why? Why? And I'll open that up in a minute. Who and how long? So why? I kind of alluded to this a couple times, but think about these for your own context, either the internship you're doing or what you maybe want to do or what God's been birthing in your heart. Why are you doing it? Why have an internship? Why? Is it for cheap labor? I mean, our churches need we need more volunteers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need more people to set up chairs and tear down chairs. Can I get an amen, Pastor?
Amen.
Oh, that God would send an intern to One Focus so that they can help chairs. Seriously, there's a practical need, right? There is my visual parable right there. Pastor Joel's doing chairs. It would be epic to have a One Focus intern that could help with the chairs. Amen. Let it be, God. But it's not just about, you know, cheap labor. It's also, oh, maybe we can't afford to hire a youth pastor. That's what our church needs. But let's get an intern to do that. This one may not be any of your churches, but some big churches have internships to make money. They, you know, charge a little bit. If you're giving all this, if you're giving learning and teaching, you can make some money off internships. Again, I don't think that's any of the One Focus churches, but some churches do that. But for us, our passion is really why, if this isn't a reason, if it's not about raising up and launching out new ministry leaders, if it's not about that, if it's not about forming leaders, pouring into leaders, having them grow, creating this space where they can play, then I would say it's not time to do an internship. If it's not about discipling or raising up or helping them, then it's not a good reason. Those other reasons are there. Someone needs to pick up and tear down and make good coffee before service and play the bass and help lead and run the tech. Those are real needs. But if it's not about pouring into and raising up and releasing, and I think Pastor Eunice has been here, and I can think of, she was one of the great. She helped launch an internship, and she had me partner with that. And I had never led worship ever. I had played sax and some with some pretty cool big names, recorded a little bit. I'd been in worship services. I played some keys. But really, I mean, I could sing. But I kind of stopped singing once I stopped being a soprano. I was like a soprano until I was like 14. Kind of cool now. I wish I could still do it. Now I'm so low down. But Eunice, as I was playing keys with her in Panama, she just, you know, does her Eunice thing and just prophesying and praying and just casting out devils. Then looks back and she's like, Jeremy, you need to just lead some worship. And so in the midst of that, I'm like, hey, I think I can do that. So for her, it wasn't just about, well, I need a keyboard player and a sax player and a guy who can teach on worship. But she saw a gift inside of me and found an environment for me to grow. And that's what internships, if you're not answering that question, that why question, with about raising and launching people, then you got to reassess. Is it time to do an internship? And it might not be. What was the second question? Who? I knew that, but it helps to make sure you're still here as we're wanting to eat yummy food together. Who is this for? You're creating an internship. Who do you want to, what types of interns? You know, is this a broad thing for anybody in the church? I mean, that'd be really great to have discipleship and learning and to have a call out to anyone. Is this kind of really selective? Like you're thinking, I need really highly skilled people. I mean, is this something that is going to be, you know, kind of weekends and occasionally, and there's certain people who can do that. You know, some of the internships that I know are doing more things, like some of the training stuff in the evenings, because they don't just want people right out of school who aren't going to college, but they want moms and dads and grandparents to be released as kind of ministry apprentices. And that might be a context that you need to think about. It's not just people with a lot of time, but actually people who are so busy, but have a call to ministry, but are also trying to pay the mortgage and get babysitters for the kids. And so some of that, you've got to think about who, because that's gonna change your wineskin. That's gonna change your model. If you really want the most talented media person and you want them to run a 17 campuses and 35 services, like, you're not going to make that a broad media internship. You're going to get one or two people, like, and help them get some online training at a course or a local college or something. So you've got to think that through, like, who is this for? What was the third question? Yeah, kind of how long? And I mean, we've been a part of internships that have lasted, kind of 3 years and a part of a British academic setting. 3 years, we've also been a part of them that have lasted 3 months. And I think, again, you go to that why, that who question, then it can be kind of how long. Is this until Jesus comes? That was IHOP Kansas City for a long time. Like, we're going to get people mobilized, missionaries, interns, until Jesus comes back. That could be. That could be the calling. It could be a three-month summer. I've seen, a number of churches in this network doing kind of summer internships, and mainly for kind of high school and college students. And it's almost like a vacation Bible school, except it's ministry and releasing. Liam's done that some with the young people back in the day at New Life, too. So thinking about how long is this for weeks? Is it for months? Is it for a year? And that's gonna shape the program you're gonna do. Does that make sense? So think about those things. Why? How long? What else? What was my other one? Who? Who's it for? The last question that I have, and I actually would love love you to speak this one out, and we'll take the last few minutes to just kind of wrestle with this. What are the challenges of actually either current challenges running an internship or challenges or barriers or roadblocks that are preventing you from doing it right now, launching something next week? What's in the way? What are some of the barriers? What are some of the roadblocks? What are the, when you think about, oh yes, I want to pour into young people and we need more support and I want to release them to the nations or release them into ministry, but we don't have such and such, or well, this won't. What are those things that come out to you? Just shout something out. Yeah. Really good. I think first is to look, you know this, and I'm sure you are, but look in the church. And also particularly, I mean, if it's, look at some 13 and 14-year-olds. Seriously, like, think long term and to pour into them. I saw that really when I was in the U.S. pastoring, like, to find a few of them just, and it wasn't as formal as some of the things we've been talking about. A number on the university side, like a number of universities require that. It has shifted from a partnership with the university to really finding the students, and it's more student driven, so a student will find it themselves. So it's a little harder than 10 or 15 years ago. You could have called Regent, or you could have called, but now with online education, people are scattered all over the world. But do look at some of the, you know, you're in Jacksonville, right? So look at some of the school. Gordon Conwell has a satellite there, the Worship Studies, Institute for Worship Studies. There may be some local Bible schools. See and just shoot them an email or give them a call and say that. You know, most churches would want to keep, or Bible school, keep those interns themselves and not share. But if they're a good church, they'd recognize actually having someone go to another place for a month or a few months, sure, they might lose their best worship leader, but they also might bring back a worship leader who has new strategies, new ideas, new ways of doing things. I think it's being in relationship and relational networks is how it is now. And I think I know it's not the point Pastor Joel has us here too, but One Focus, I mean, that's a great place too. Jump on the One Focus Facebook group and just say, we're looking for interns. Or maybe again, if you talk to him on the One Focus side, there might be something that could emerge in that sense. It's not easy. It's easy if you're a mega church who spent 15, 20 years doing this, like Bethel, you can get 3,000 students, you know. But to start out, even them, they started with a few people in their church and began to invest. So it's a challenge. It's that's number one. Where do I find some people to do that?
Can I say something along those lines? You have not because you ask not to. So, I mean, even when you start to look within your own local church and you're saying, who is this for? It may not be the person that you look with God's eyes and ask maybe who is God stirring in your own local church that has a call to ministry and hasn't had the opportunity or the means to be released in that. Maybe you're the answer to their prayers.
Other kind of challenges. Yeah.
I'll say breaking the barrier of being transparent. For me, I see transparency as a different level of relationship.
Yeah.
So like when you were talking about yummy food and things like that, getting together, making eggs and stuff like that, it's cool. I can be in a relationship with you like that. But how do you break the barrier with the internship of them being vulnerable enough to share their actual struggles,
right,
and things like that?
Yeah, it's by you sharing your struggles. And I know that's in most of our American culture's ministry, that's a big no-no even today. And there's reasons for that, and there is needs for boundaries and things, but I mean, I can think of the most powerful conversation I had with one of these students, placement, that we call them placement students, in the is just sharing about my own challenges with anxiety and depression. And then I'd been working with him for 3 years, and he's just kind of cold and blinded, and I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't. We prayed together, we led worship. He's an amazing minister, talented, great leader, charismatic, but finally, you know, we were talking, and I just out of prayer, and I just said, you know, for most of my life, I've never struggled with this, but the last 2 years I have, and I have greater empathy. I didn't go into all the details of all my sin in that moment, but just said, you know what, I've seen a doctor, I've talked to counselors, and, you know, if you want to pray for me today, will you pray for me about that? And then from him, literally just opened a well that he didn't know was there. And it wasn't a good well. It was a well that needed to be open and needed to get professional support and pastoral support and take a break from his studies and things like big life-changing things. And I think that's, again, I recognize the context and the leadership styles and the cultural differences, but for you, for me, for us as leaders to have a level of vulnerability, a level of transparency, I think it needs to, particularly as we're talking about millennials, it has to go to the other extreme because the church has been so fake, so many masks for particularly Pentecostal charismatic movements. And so you've got, Glenn shared it the first night here. I mean, you've got Pastor Ted pushing against, you know, the homosexual movement and the LGBT movement while he's in illicit relationships. I mean, this is an amazing church that talked about life-giving open relationships, but we talk so much about, oh, we're just doing life together, and it means going to Starbucks for an hour and talking. That's not doing life together. That's having a cup of coffee. Doing life together is sweeping the floor and then arguing a little bit and then cleaning up and then laughing, you know, like, and talking. Like, how are you really? It may be different in your context and with different people. And I know some people, truly, I'm not saying this, need professional level counseling, right? I need that in certain seasons. I'll be vulnerable, like, not just a pastor to say, everything's going to work out for the good. God loves you. You're better. You're bigger. You're stronger. But needs people with skills that have devoted their life to understand the mind and the body and the emotions. And so sometimes there is a place for referral in that place of vulnerability to say, I know something's going on in your heart and in your life, but I can't walk that through. But I am your brother, your father, your pastor. I want to help get you that support, that vulnerability, that, you know, that place of vulnerability to bring healing to it. And that's also can be intense, and but also very powerful. Yeah. Is that all right?
I think too, like, it's, you can't rush relationships, but you can also create space for them, for breath, for vulnerability, for conversation. And I think if you hadn't invited this guy into your office, taken the time to sit with him, that never would have happened. So creating those spaces or those pockets to not only be present, but also to ask the questions that are hard to ask, but that need to
in opening, having those really tough conversations. If someone is not showing up on time for 5 weeks as an intern, it might be because your meeting's at 8:30 in the morning and they've been up all night hanging out, writing songs, praying. They could be doing really good stuff. And it might be that you need to adjust your form, but it I'm trying to put this in the best, like, it might be because something really big is happening in their life, something really. They might be not punctual and need to get an alarm clock and wake up and get up early and have a coffee. Like, it also might be something going on with their family and their dad or their mom. And so actually by confronting, and not in a rude way, but, bro, what's going on? Why can't you show up to worship practice? at 9 o'clock in the morning. It might be because he likes to sleep in and doesn't set his alarm. I actually showed up to worship practice today a little late because I wanted a coffee and slept. So this is actually me. Jeremy, why is it? But it could be some big, intense issue. And so in this situation, why aren't you turning in your assignments? There's a lot of reasons for that. And so to not be judgmental, but also not just, oh, that's millennials. They don't show up early in the morning for meetings. There may be some deep reasons. And by giving a little bit of confrontation, it starts to expose what's actually going on and gives an avenue for them to start to make a confession. Well, this is what's happening in my life. This is what's happening in my family. Or this is what happened in my old church when I show up early. Does that make sense? Yeah. Other challenges, a couple more. Why couldn't you start tomorrow? Or what are you, yeah. I mean, I can see.
That's a huge, two huge Christian universities nearby.
Yeah.
And they say they have a program, but you never hear back from them.
Yeah.
And in our experience.
Yeah.
I can speak from the other side of that because I've been involved with that. One, like at London School of Theology, the freshmen would have to do a full year internship, so the first year students. The others had other types of it, but that's the big one. And literally everywhere I'd go, everywhere I'd speak, I'd have 7 people asking, can you send us interns? Yeah. And so that's one, that there's hundreds of churches in your area, literally, of all denominations that, you know, within the broader area that want that. So that's just the reality. There's competition, not in a bad way, but just everybody wants a region intern. Everyone wants a Liberty intern, like, because they have to do it, and we need the support. On the other, some of these programs are, as I said earlier, so much about online education that there's not, I teach on the master's program at Regent, and I think they all do. They've got students in Singapore. I've got students, and they're not in Virginia Beach. Some of them are, but they're kind of all over. And so I think that's a huge part of it. I would actually start to flip this, and I think this could be a good model for some churches, to look at the teenagers in your church now and to think, you know what? And this is Pastor Yemini Joseph who helped kind of start this movement. Like, he would talk about this in his book, Confirming the Pastoral Call, a really basic, easy book. But as a church, look at that 17-year-old or 16-year-old or 18-year-old who you think has a calling to the creative arts or to worship leadership or pastoral ministry, and think, we want you to stay here. We don't want you to move to Reading or move to Sydney or move to London. We want you here, and we'll actually pay for or scholarship part of your Regent bachelor's online or your, and I think that model where you're getting some of this learning and you're not actually doing the learning, it's people like me, and you know, we're doing it online, and so you're investing, they're getting a degree, they're getting theology, or they're getting creative arts, or whatever, and you may not be paying them anything, but you're helping sponsor that, and a lot of these schools now offer matching grants, so if you as a church give $500 towards their education, the university gives $500, so that may be, again, it's kind of flipping the model instead of you looking for the university to give you students, that you're looking at some of your students that think they need a theology degree or they need a media degree or even just, again, a one-year course. One of the churches I know are doing that with the Bethel Online. They're wanting them. They didn't really want them to move from England to Reading, and it's a lot of money. I mean, it would have been 10, 20 grand for the whole process, not the tuition, but flights back and forth and things like that. So they said, we'll invest, put you on Worship U and give you a day a week to do that as part of your thing. So it is challenging, and particularly if your church, depending on the demographics and the age and what people are doing, that's, yeah. Bless you. Well, maybe one or two more, yeah.
Church in my house. I have 8 children. And how in the world am I supposed to pour into these people in my church, like relationally, like life? Like I've got my own big life. Like, so that's my big challenge. But how you just answered her question, I can think of 3 young girls in our church who come over. They've actually already been to my house. They all 3 have a heart to sing. I have a heart to sing, but I'm terrified. Terrified because, because I've never been in an environment where it's been free and where it's been open, and we have that culture issue in our church. We've been in leadership for 1 year, and I kind of have sensed this for years, sitting in the congregation, now being very suddenly thrust into leadership. As you're talking about this whole relational model, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't even. How do we even begin to change this? But how you just answered her question, just like this moment. Wow. So I just wanted to encourage you in this moment that, wow, like, I just went from 2 minutes ago wondering, God, what in the heck am I doing sitting in this, to, like, the Holy Spirit just blew it open, and there's 3 teenage girls. I can't teach them how to, I can't pour into them in worship, but I can bring them in, and I can bring someone off of our worship team and kind of begin to break down this culture of performance and this culture of you either got it or you don't got it. I mean, it's entrenched, but the word this morning of Wrecking Ball, hey, I'm ready, you know, so I'm just excited. Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Amen. Yeah, one more, yeah. Sorry, Denise. Yeah.
If you're drawing students from, you know, other regions, how do you approach that challenge?
It depends on how big. You know, if you're talking about a couple, you know, 2 or 3. I think it's great to get them in local homes and people. And at least, again, this is our values, our model, our approach. Josh and Ian lived with us. Gabrielle, you're talking about, lived with us. I lived in Omaha with a family, and that's so special. And there's actually some accountability with that too. It's not just, you're not going to invite people to stay a little extra late if you're in a church mother's house, like, rather than just an apartment rented out by the church. There's some built-in family. I'm talking about sex. Young people that aren't going to be having sex. Well, there's some accountability, or they're not going to be out binge drinking, like, because they're staying with a member of the church or the pastor. There's some accountability. And also there's some accountability the other side. Like, you've got a young person living. It's time to stop arguing with your spouse all the time. Like, that community life. Again, if it's for a season, it may not. I think it is harder when it's a big, you're getting 15 or 20. And so I think that's where a church starts to invest in property you're almost at a Bible school there, and you need a big house, or you need like something like that. So I think if it's small, to find way. Again, that's our model, and that's a very much more intimate than some places. But there's maybe people in your church that have a front room over, frog over the garage, or a room that, again, for 3 months or for 6 months would be open. Yeah, Denise, last one. Yeah.
I was just gonna help answer her.
Yeah.
Every culture is different, but you should include all the that young people, like you said, you may not know how to do what they want you to do, but you got a mama there. Or you got an older person there. They may not know all the theology. They may not talk like you. Yeah. They may not have been a regent, but they've been through life. And you have to include that in the internships.
Yeah.
And because it brings balance. And we learn too. You can teach an old dog new tricks, to coin that term. You know, I learn from everybody.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, but they also learn from you.
It's
yeah.
really
so,
good.
And my son is in the internship now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's awesome.
And that's so healing too. When you may experience a Mama D, when your own family wasn't so nurturing, and then you experience something, and you go, oh, there's some healing that I can experience. So I mean, even in your own community, you're the catalyst for some healing that might not otherwise take place. Let's pray. Oh Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love what you're doing in our lives. We love what you're doing in our communities. We love what you're doing in our churches. We love your activity and we welcome you afresh. Lord, I just pray for each one of my brothers and sisters that you would pour out your heart afresh in them. Lord, I pray for a fresh impartation of your heart for their church, that they would see the way that you do, that you would feel towards their church the way that you do. And all the nitty-gritty of this, all the practicalities, even all the relational aspects of things where there's some questions or concerns, I pray that you would come in and minister by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring clarity. And we say, all is for you. All is for you. So I pray in the minutes and the hours and the days following this session that you would continue to speak, continue to breathe your life, continue to make us more like you and cause us ministers to build your kingdom in our local churches, in our local communities, the way that you have for us in this next season. Pray that you would bless my brothers and sisters and keep them. Cause your face to shine on them as they go from here back home. Pray that you would lift up the light of your countenance upon them and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.